Hi, and welcome to our Pensions Age podcast. I'm the editor of Pensions Age, Laura Blows, and joining me to discuss global high yield strategies is Royal London Asset Management's head of global credit, Asar Hussain. Hi, Asar, thanks for joining us.
Hi.
So, Asar, given the talk globally of recession and the big move up in government yields, how have those factors fed through to the high yield market?
Yeah, it's been a fascinating year, and I think a lot's happened which many wouldn't have expected. And I think the one big change has really been all about government bond yields, and actually not really about credit spreads. So I think interestingly, if you polled most people and you'd asked them if government bond yields had hit the sort of levels that we've seen this year, so the US 10-year above 5%, where would credit spreads be in that environment? Most would have said that they'd be quite a bit wider, and actually they're tighter on the year, and they've been in through a relatively narrow range over the year. So we've seen credit spreads gyrate from sort of 420 basis points up to 570 basis points. So that 570, that was earlier in the year when people were worried about the US regional banks. And currently now we're closer to the tighter end of that range. So we're currently at about 440 basis points for the broad high yield market. So it's interesting because it's not really a spread market anymore, which is quite good. It's a high yield market, and it's yields matter again. And from a yield perspective, the high yield market, when you look at the gyrations there, when you add on the government bond spread, then it's a little bit more interesting in that sense. So the range there has been 7.8 to 9.5% over the year, and we're currently at 8.7. So we're at a part where we're very finely balanced. We're sort of, we've got half government yield, half credit spread. That's quite exciting to me because it's been a long time since we've had that. And interestingly, we've also got an environment where the yield curve in high yield markets is very, very flat. So the government yield curve is inverted, and when you add on quite a flat credit spread curve, it means that the overall yield, whether you're going out from sort of 1 to 2 years out to sort of 4 to 5, which is where most of the high yield market is, you're getting paid about the same sort of yield overall.
Okay, but so how well positioned would you say high yield companies are to absorb this increase in funding costs that they're likely to face over the coming years?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And I think to answer that question, you've got to really look back at the change in high yield markets over the last 10 or 15 years. And there's been a couple of really striking changes. One is that actually high yield markets have become much bigger. And they've also become the repository of larger companies at the same time. So we've not just seen high yield markets grow in absolute terms. We've actually seen the typical high yield company grow over that period as well. And that's really interesting because what it means is the larger companies tend to behave slightly different, and they tend to actually be higher in quality. But we can actually see the direct quality of the higher markets improved as well over that 15 years. So we've seen the weakest cohort, the triple C cohort, shrink from over 22% back before the credit crisis to around 8% currently. And we've seen the highest rated cohort increase from around 30% to close to 60% currently. So we've seen a big change in terms of the credit quality of the cohort improve, and we've also seen the typical issuer become larger and have more than one bond maturing. Now that's really relevant for this environment because when you've had this spike in funding costs where yields for some issuers, the cost of capital for some issuers has trebled, what matters is how that's actually transmitted to them refinancing their debt. And when you look at the last couple of years, actually there hasn't been a lot of debt which has actually come due, which is needed to be redeemed. And there's not that much debt equally, which needs to be redeemed in the next couple of years as well. Currently, we've had about 10% of the market reset with higher coupons. Over the next couple of years, we really see another 25%. So about 35% of the market will have reset if yields stay at this level by the end of 25. And the COVID period was a period which is really important in this regard, because what we saw was funding costs for companies very, very rapidly, and therefore we had $1 trillion of issuance in the context of a $2.5 trillion market in 2 years. So that what that meant was that actually we don't have a lot of maturities in the market, and not that many really coming up in the next couple of years. So this higher cost of capital we've seen overall, it hasn't really transmitted to companies, and it's going to take a long, long time before it does.
Okay, thanks, Asad. That's a great overview and putting all of this into context, but I'm quite keen to narrow it down to the experience of Royal London Asset Management and your role of Head of Global Credit. So what features are you most interested in when assessing which opportunities you wish to take through to the portfolio?
Yeah, so I think we like to take a, I guess a relatively simple approach, and you know the most important thing I think when you're investing in high yield bonds generally is avoiding losses, and it's really avoiding defaults. So our starting point is really when we're looking at our cohort of in companies, have we got the sufficient information to actually analyze those companies the way we want? So what we want to do is we want to be able to model cash flows out for 2 or 3 years. We want as much information as we can to allow us to do that with as high degree of confidence as possible. So it sounds very simple, but actually, you know, is the company truly analyzable? Secondly, what we really need is the debt that we're going to be investing in. Is it sufficiently liquid? Is it tradable? So what that means is that we don't want to be investing in companies where the debt tranches are too small, where we'll be an oversized amount of that debt, because actually things can change, and we've got our bonds should be tradable, and we need to have an exit route into the secondary market when things change, because that's going to protect us. And then when you really get to actually doing that credit work and you're looking at the companies, you know, what matters there is their access to capital, and that's derived by their capital structure. In other words, how much debt have they got? How much equity is there beneath that debt? Most importantly, what do their cash flows look like and how stable are they? So one of the things we really, really emphasize is stability of cash flows, you know, the repeatability really of the company's past experience going forward. So we end up skewing towards companies which have contracted cash flows and skewing away from companies which have volatile earnings and volatile revenues.
Okay, I'm sorry, Asa. I do have to ask though. There are many shorter duration global high yield strategies in the market. So what sets yours apart?
Yeah, and I think one of the big things that really sets us apart is our definition. So our definition of short duration bonds is a bond that's going to be redeemed by the issuer within the next 2 years of us investing. And by that definition, what it means is that we only invest in bonds which are what we call seasoned, i.e. bonds which have been issued and in the market, and we're buying them from the secondary market. And the reason for that is that we think our experience shows that part of the market is structurally lower in default risk. And that really, really matters. So by virtue of that definition, we end up with a portfolio which is sub 2 years in duration. That means in terms of both spread volatility and interest rate volatility, we have much, much lower volatility. So this tried and tested approach really means that we focus all our risks to really the one risk that a high yield bond manager wants to have, which is reinvestment risk. So essentially, we've created a portfolio of cash flows which we're going to get from our portfolio. And as our bonds mature, we get this behavioral prompt to reconsider the market. And that's really, really valuable, because when yields move, whether it's spreads or government bonds, and last year was a great example of this, it means your portfolio can reset very quickly and you get this pull to par, so it reduces your volatility. So overall, I think it's a focus on what we think is really, really, really important. By having a really large universe, having a very simple approach, really focusing on the things that we can actually analyze and really avoiding the ones we can't, it means that we end up having a lot less credit losses, and our fund ultimately ends up delivering pretty much its yield. And that's really, I guess, I think the holy grail in high yield investing is the income is so good. If you can just harvest that income, you'll end up with a very, very good return.
You have mentioned this being a tried and tested approach. So, how has the strategy performed historically? I mean, particularly through previous periods of market distress.
Yeah, so I've been running this strategy for 2 decades, 10 and a half years in its current guise at Royal London. And over those 20 years, this is a strategy which has only ever had 2 negative years. So last year, the strategy was down a couple of percent. And back in 2008, the worst credit crisis we've ever seen, and certainly high yield markets were down typically between 20 and 30% depending on which cohort you pick. The strategy was down 3%. So this is a strategy which has very, very low drawdowns, and over the rest of those periods, it's always given you a positive return. And the reason for that is that it's focus on income, it's singular focus on loss avoidance. And that loss avoidance record is something we're very, very proud of. You know, over that 20 years, the strategy's never had a default. And the strategy's credit loss record is also impeccable as well. So in other words, even those bonds we sell, we tend to sell them at a very, very high cash price.
Okay, Asar, I'm afraid that's all we have time for. Thank you very much for joining me, and thank you all for listening. Goodbye.